for Children's Church. It's going to be a good day, isn't it, Grandma? It's going to be a good day to see the face of Jesus. Man. See, our faith's not fully been realized yet. You understand that. We see partly right now, the Bible says. We see in part. We don't see in full. But our eyes will be opened, and we will see in full all that God has waiting on us. Man, I'm excited about that. Are you taking money out or putting it in? He's all been over that thing. Oh, I've got to watch these Christian kids, I tell you. So glad to see y'all today. I want to talk about something from my heart, really from my heart, that's been on there since the year began, actually. And by the way, this is Mindy's first time being at church this year, so we're glad to have you, Mindy. And we appreciate that. But this is the third week in a row that God's got me here talking about our lifestyle, about how we're living for God or not living for God, whichever. And I think it's important that we understand as Christians we're supposed to be different and we should desire to be different. You know, we talk a lot about appetites, how as we grow older, our appetites change, right? Things you used to like when you were little, maybe you don't like so much now. Your taste change, your style changes. Our appetite changes as we grow older. Our kids look at the 1980 videos that my generation grew up with on MTV, and they're like, oh my gosh, that's so generic. You're right. But at the time, it was the thing. At the time, it was so awesome. We were the starter of the MTV generation. My generation was the beginning of the MTV generation. So you millennials, you're welcome. That's all I got to say. It looks so generic. Your tastes change. They got an iPhone, what, 10 now? Is that the latest one out? An XR, yeah. I've still got an iPhone 5 Plus, okay? 5S, sorry. I don't have the Plus. Yeah, I got an iPhone 5S, okay? A guy that I know the other day I was talking to him, he's still got the flip phone, the old flip phones, you know? And so I'm way behind the phones. You know, our appetites change. They keep coming out with newer stuff to try to appease our appetite. Well, the world's great at that, too. The world is great at throwing that lure out there. You seen that insurance commercial with holding that dollar bill by the fish hook? Almost got it. That's kind of how the world is, isn't it? Come on, just grab that. You'll like it. Come on, it's so good for you. You're going to love it. And somehow we have gotten sucked in as Christians to conforming to our culture instead of us changing our culture. We as Christians can impact our culture and change what happens around us. When we stay silent about something, we're not helping a cause. We must speak up in love, in faith, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we will see things around us begin to change. We need to make a stand, and it starts with us individually first, knowing where we stand. Last week, we talked about being all in. And then Gordon texted me what Bill taught and how both messages really married, and that was amazing because I didn't know anything he was talking about, how it married. And he talked about how, you know, we talked last week about are you all in or are you out? Are you all in or are you out? We need to step all in and say, God, I'm ready to give all of me to all of you and what you have prepared for me. So we're going to read some scripture this morning. It's a matter of the heart. And as you know, our heart is the most sensitive matter in our lives. What we allow into our hearts is what we become. For some of you this morning, you may be bitter and angry about something. You know why? It's in your heart. And as long as it stays in your heart, you're going to be bitter and angry. No matter how much confessing you do, no matter how much, until it gets out of your heart, it's going to be there. So our heart must be changed. Whatever we allow into our heart is what we become. And we're in a world where we have hardened our hearts and we're not as sensitive anymore to the Holy Spirit, to the Word of God, or to God's voice. We just accept things as it's okay. We accept things as that's how I'm going to live my life. We accept things as, you know what, it's nobody's business but mine. You're not my judge. No, we're not your judge, but God is. And the Bible is clear on a moral standard that He has laid out for our lives. And we can fight all we want against that moral standard, or we can embrace it and say, God, I want what you have for me because what you have for me is better for my life than what I have for me. Moral standards still need to be applied in our lives. There's a reason God has these. There's a reason God puts His Word in front of us. It's to help our lives walk with peace and joy, prosperity and blessing. So Paul here, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 17. Ephesians 4, verse 17. And I'm going to read a couple of these out of the Amplified. I'll let you know which ones they are. But starting with verse 17, Paul says this. Now, he's addressing the people at the city of Ephesus, which, by the way, was a major commercial city. A lot of stuff going on. They worshipped a goddess called Diana. It was a pagan city, and they worshipped her. And so there was a lot of sexual immorality going on. There was a lot of sin going on in this city. And those that said that they had believed in Christ were still walking that way. Now, as the old Run DMC and Steven Tyler song, Walk This Way. Walk this way! Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, it's time that we start walking this way. It's time that we change the direction that we are going and say, God, if my life... See, here's what's happened. Here's the problem. Okay, let me give you an example. For me personally, this is just me. I'm not preaching anything. This is me, James Lewis, what I believe. We all sin, we all fall short, we know that. And there are certain things that grab our attention more than others. There are certain things that get in our crawl more than others, okay? Now, I'm all for accepting people and loving them where they're at. I always have, I always will. That's who I am. I'm going to love those, whatever place they're in. But with this new movement we're seeing in our society, this new movement of transgender, of the open homosexuality, of the I don't want to be a boy or a girl, all this stuff that is happening, here's where I lie. It's different for me, but when you're ashamed of your sin and not bragging about your sin. Where you're boasting and you're proud and you're throwing out there on me and saying because you, Mr. Pastor, don't accept it, then you are being judgmental. No, I'm going by what God's Word says. And God's Word does say in Genesis, if you believe the Bible, that God made Adam and Steve. Excuse me. God made Adam and Eve. The Bible says God made male and female. Made He them. He didn't make nothing else. He made a male and He made a female. And if any of you have any problems with what you are, come see me and my wife. She's a nurse. And we will identify you. I promise. The problem that I have with this is we've lost our remorse for what is right and what is wrong. Man, I grew up in a generation of time, a church generation of time, to where the altar was always full, to where people were always repenting, always weeping for the Lord, always wanted more of God, always wanted to be cleansed, always wanted to be washed away. And now, man, it's like, ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm good. We got a little spaghetti sauce right there. That's okay. I'm not that dirty. I got a little mud on my knee. It's okay. At least I can look like her. That's what we do now. Instead of looking in the mirror and seeing what we really look like. And God, my desire and our desire should be, Lord, I want to be in Your will and Your way all the time. I want to be clean. I want to be pure. I want my heart to be protected from the world because, man, the world comes into your home, comes into your life, and it can corrupt you if you let it. Because all we have now is 24-hour news, 24-hour bulletins, 24-hour headlines. I had an app on my phone that I had Melon delete for me because it got on my nerves. I don't know why I even downloaded it. But every news story in America or the world that popped up, popped on my phone. It was constant bad news all day long. Why do I have this app? Earthquake kills 500. I don't want to know that. I mean, everything was bad news. And all that just keeps in your spirit and it suppresses you. I want to hear what God has to say. I can't be conformed to the world, as Romans says. I need to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And I've got to watch what comes into my mind. How many of you that are in your 40s or 50s this morning remember something you saw, a visual something, maybe it was a bad, naughty something, that you saw 30 years ago in your head and it's still there? You can still see it. We can see it, can't we? Those visuals come into our mind like a camera, and they stay there. And that's why it's important that we determine what we allow to come into our hearts. that we determine, I'm not going to see that. I'm not going to hear that. I'm not going to speak that. I'm not going to go there. I've got to protect. Ephesians 6 tells us to put on the whole armor of God that we can withstand the wiles, the attacks of the enemy. Because we will be attacked. But we must guard ourselves with the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, praying always for the saints. We must be on the defense every single day. Any police officer that is an active officer is on the defense of their job every single day. They take nothing for granted. Everything could be a crisis, and they understand that, and they walk that way. We as Christians need to realize the devil is always like a vulture, them turkey buzzards, you know, in the woods circling around. You know something's either dead or about to die. You see all them birds circling. That's the devil in your life, circling, circling, trying to find one opening to get into your life, one opportunity to get into your life. We must guard against that. And if we have the Holy Spirit, that really shouldn't be a problem, should it? 17. This I say, therefore, testify in the Lord, that you walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. He's telling the people of Ephesus, another part of the translation of that is the emptiness of their soul. You've got something in you. You're not like the other Gentiles. You're not like the world, church. You're the light of the world. You're the light. You're not like them. You've come out from among them. You should be different, and you should be proud to be different and bold to be different and want to be different. You should stand on that, not with arrogance, but with great humility that God called my name and chose me out from among them and set me apart that I can show forth the praises of him who's called me out of darkness and put me in the kingdom of the dear Son. That's just something we should desire. I hunger for you, God. I hunger for truth. I hunger for righteousness. I hunger for what you have for me. I hunger for that, and I desire that, not what the world has, because everything the world gives you, the world can take away. But what God gives you, it remains with you, and can no man take it away. He will take you, as we sung that song, by the hand and cross you over to the promised land. That's the promise we have the world can't give, but God does. He said, don't walk like the other ones. You're different. Says having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart. You know, a child is so innocent and a child is so submissive, isn't it, to the things of God. They're sensitive because they don't have the hardness of life. They don't have the hardness of problems yet. And so they believe what you tell them. They're able to receive in their spirit the pure, innocent moving of the Holy Spirit. I've seen this church through the years, children crying during worship, children at the altar crying. They are so submissive because they've not yet hardened their hearts. But we let life come in and harden our hearts. We let the world come in and harden our hearts. We let divorce harden our hearts. A job loss harden our hearts. A health issue harden our hearts. We let all these factors come in and harden our heart to where we are not as sensitive as we used to be because everybody is doing it. How many times do we tell our kids, you heard the old saying, if they told you to jump off a cliff, you jump off a cliff. Everybody's not doing it. Everybody in high school is not doing drugs. I don't care what y'all say. Everybody's not doing it. Everybody's not out drinking. Everybody's not doing that. Not everybody. A lot of people, yes, but not everybody. And so we hear that, and we accept that. And TV pushes that. We're seeing commercials now that are very, let's just say, gender-friendly, right, to all people now. We're seeing it being poured into our homes. We're seeing it on our phones. We're seeing it everywhere that we go. We're seeing it in the workplace. We're seeing all of this stuff being forced into our lives. But just because it's being forced in your life doesn't mean you don't have a right to make your own decision. Say, no, I'm not going to let my heart be hardened by the world because everybody is doing it. There's still a right way, church, and that's God's way. And we don't like to hear that because you know what it means? It means we've got to change. And I don't want to change. I like who I am. I like my sin. I like it, and it feels good. So leave me alone. But man, how much better a life we would have if we would just surrender to Christ and say, Lord, do not let my heart be hardened by the world. And here's something else. And this is for somebody here this morning. I just felt this in my spirit. Do not let your heart be hardened toward other people. because that's only affecting you. That's only destroying you. I don't care what they've done to you. When you let that happen, you have given them complete supreme authority in your life, that they have shut you down. Oh, no, get that back. Forgive them 70 times 7, Jesus says, right? 70 times, as many times, just keep forgiving them, because that keeps you flowing in my grace and my mercy. That keeps you sensitive to my spirit. I'm going to tell you, it's hard to be bitter towards someone and be humble toward God. We're on our knees praying, and Gordon's so mad at me, he hates me. He's in there trying to pray in his heavenly language, you know, in that special tongue, and you know, but he hates me. How's that going to go? Not very good. Because his heart is not truly right. There's nothing like letting your heart be healed of all the scars and all the pain, all the past, all the stuff you're carrying. Let it be healed. Our hearts must be right. And he's telling them that. Don't let your heart be hardened like they are. Verse 19, who being past filling, given themselves over to lasciviousness. Y'all say lasciviousness. Ain't that fun to say? We know it's a bad word, but man, it's fun to say. Lasciviousness. Gail, don't be operating a bunch of lasciviousness. Lasciviousness means all impurity, debauchery, any evil, immoral activity pretty much covers lasciviousness. Anything that's just immoral, corrupt, and evil. It says, do not be given unto that to work all uncleanness with greediness. Here's what the Amplified says in that same verse. In their spiritual apathy, and that's a good way to put it, right? Spiritual apathy. Just going through the motions. I'll go to church and I'll say my blessing. I'll pray a couple times a week. You know, I'll put my offering in and I'm going through the motions, but I'm not really excited about my spiritual walk. It's just, it's look, isn't it better to be here than at work today? Can I get a hallelujah on that? Better to be here than work? Better to be here than jail? Yeah. Emergency room? Yeah. So, think of it that way. It says, in their spiritual apathy, they became callous and past-feeling and reckless and have abandoned themselves unbridled sensuality, eager and greedy to indulge in every form of impurity. He's saying that's how they're acting. You don't act that way. I mean, aren't we supposed to be changed by the grace and love of Jesus, the power of God? It's supposed to break the chains. Yes, we were that person. We used to act that way. And people justify all the time today. I hear Christians all the time using foul language and just like it's no big deal. How does sweet and bitter water come out of the same fountain? There's got to be one form that comes out. You go to a water fountain, hit that button. You don't get Kool-Aid and water. You get water. You get one thing. That'd be pretty cool to have Kool-Aid back here, wouldn't it? But you get one thing. You get water. Both can't flow out of the same spring. We've been changed or we haven't been changed. And he is saying, don't keep acting like they're acting. You say that you've learned Christ. The next verse says, so you've learned Christ. You hadn't learned Christ, really. If you've learned Christ, if you have followed Jesus, if you have heard his teachings, how are you still acting that way? How are you still living that way? And I don't expect a lot of amens, church. This is one of them messages, just, you know, that's okay. Just listen. It's fine. Just listen. See, as I was preparing my message, God put in my heart what to preach on, kind of the subject and where he wanted to take me. And as I told Randy this morning, in my office, I looked down at my desk, and I was like, okay, Lord, lead me to the right scripture. My Bible was already open. When I looked down, this is exactly where it was. I started reading chapter 4, verse 17. I'm like, this is where you want me, God. Perfect. I don't know how I got there, but that's exactly where he wanted me. So I know this message is right for today for those of us that will be humble enough to hear it. If your boss man, Nathan, if your boss man came to you tomorrow, says, Nathan, I tell you what, if you'll do this, 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 and this over the next 30 days, 60 days, I'll double your salary. You probably do most of those things, as long as it was legal, right? You would do those things. You would sacrifice. Yes, sir. I want you to do this, 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 this. For the next 60 days, I'll double your salary. We would do that at our workplace. Here's God telling us how he desires for us to live. But yet we just turn a deaf ear. I don't want to hear it because it puts too much responsibility on me and me living my life for you, God. But what a great life to live for God in total freedom. Knowing, God, my heart is pure. I've been washed. I've been cleansed. I've been forgiven. I've been redeemed. I've been restored. And what I want to do today, just so you'll know as we build up to this, is I want this today to be a rededication service for some of you out there. You're saved. You belong to God, but you're not in the place that you know that you probably should be and you desire to be in a better place. I want to be a time today of rededication. We say, God, today I want to restart and rededicate again and start over, God, and take my life now and begin to lead me in a direction that I've not maybe been in for a long time. Because, man, stuff gets in the way. Kids, family, jobs, money problems, health. I mean, stuff gets in our way that clouds sometimes our spirit. Don't be desensitized. You know, I'm a very sensitive guy in a very good way. Okay? Make sure I clear it up. And I'll cry at a sad movie. I'll cry at a sad video. I have no problem shedding tears. I'm not one of these guys that don't cry. God gave me tears for a reason, and by George, I'm going to use them. I want my heart never to be so hardened that I can't cry, that I can't be moved inside. Do you know crying is part of our healing process? It's part of our healing, and there's nothing wrong with that. Even you Marines can cry, just don't tell nobody. But you're allowed to cry in private with nobody around. It's okay. Because you know what it shows? It shows that your heart is tender enough still to be touched by the hand of God. And there's nothing like it. There's nothing like weeping tears in the presence of God. Nothing better than that. Verse 20, or verse, you learn Christ. 21, if so, you have heard him and you were taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, you should put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to its deceitful lust. The Amplified in that verse says, strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off and disregard your old self, which characterized your previous manner of life. Your previous manner of life. Paul was saying, you're not that person anymore. Get rid of that. If you say you're a believer in Jesus, then you ought to look like you're a believer in Jesus. You ought to follow that pattern. You know, most time you can look at someone, how they dress, except maybe on Sunday, but during the week, and determine kind of what kind of person they probably are, right? You see a man in a suit on Monday, he's a businessman. You see a man overalls and a hat, he's a farmer. You know, cowboy boots and cowboy hat, redneck, right? You know, some things like a hippie, you know. Some of them, bless their hearts, you ain't got a clue what they are, and they don't know either. They're just out there, didn't look when they got, but they put anything on, I don't know. But the point is, you can look at someone sometimes and kind of tell what they are. You ever been at Walmart shopping at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and they're in there in their pajamas shopping? Pajamas. That tells me everything. And if y'all do that, church, I'm sorry, that tells me everything. I mean, you can't even put some pants on? Are you serious? You're going in your pajamas to Walmart. You have no self-respect at all. None. You can look at that and identify what they are. For Christians, guess what? They should be able to look at our lives and identify what we are. You're a Christian. You're a believer, aren't you? Not because we preach to them, because we look the part. We walk the part. We talk the part. We don't engage in their conversations, but we separate ourselves. We don't talk like they do. We don't walk like they do. We don't look like they do. And that's how we're supposed to be. And Paul was telling them, look, guys, you say that you've heard Jesus. You've heard his teachings, but you're not living that way. You're living like everybody else, just like the world. Why is it so important that we don't live like the world? A couple of reasons. One is we are supposed to be the light to other people. How can we be a light if we're like them? How can we possibly help someone else if they don't even see Christ in us? We can't be a help to them whatsoever. Another point of coming out is because it's a sign we've truly been changed. That we truly have been transformed. That we're no longer that old man. That old sinner before Christ, but now we've been redeemed and we've been restored and we've been changed. Don't allow your heart to be so hardened by life that you can't let the things of God in. Forgiveness and peace and joy and love and long-suffering. Don't let that happen. Verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. and you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. He is telling them, this is what you were. Here's what you're supposed to be now. Put the new man on. Put this Christ you believe in, let him become the pattern for your life. The Bible says in one place that everything we do, we should do it as unto the Lord. I remind my wife that sometimes when we're in an argument. I says, God says, do it as you would to the Lord. Would you talk to God that way? She says, no, but you ain't God. I said, I know. Everything we do, do it as unto the Lord. I know my grandma through the years probably still does, when she's at the house sometimes, gets singing, because my grandma loves to sing. She's a little canary bird, just loves to sing. And there have been times I heard she washing her dishes, she'd be singing in the house or cleaning her house, get singing, praising God, and get all excited, just cleaning her house. You know, dishes are a lot more fun when you're singing to Jesus, aren't they, Grandma? Vacuuming the carpet's a little bit more fun when you're in here singing to Jesus. Everything you do, think about, I'm doing it as I would unto God. My life is being observed. Am I doing it in a way that pleases and honors my Father? These people in Ephesus were not living that life at all. And Paul was trying to address, I know you're saved by grace, I get that. I know it's not about your works, I get that. But man, grace ought to change you. Grace ought to transform you. How can you serve the way you used to if you say that now, Jesus, you're following his ways? Because I'm telling you, I don't know about y'all, I see a lot of folks say they're Christians that don't look like they're following Jesus very closely. Because they don't talk and act like they're following Jesus. It's more than just saying I'm a Christian. You know, saying a Christian is a lot more deeper than saying I'm a Republican or I'm a Democrat or I'm a liberal or I'm a, you know, or whatever. I'm an unaffiliated. It's a lot deeper than that. Saying a Christian should mean something. It means I am following Christ. That I am trying my best to live a life that reflects my Heavenly Father. You know how the best way to govern that is let the Holy Spirit inside of you govern that. That little voice inside, right, that tells you when something's wrong. And we know it's wrong, but we don't listen to it. We override that voice. We've all done that. We override that voice inside that's trying to stop us, because God is not going to send a Mack truck in front of you to run you over to stop you. God is going to speak to you, and then it's your choice whether you listen or whether you don't. Just like a father or mother gives their child instructions. They can listen or they cannot, but the consequence is theirs. Don't blame God for the place you're in today. Don't blame God for all the problems you've got today. He has called you out and delivered you from them all. We got to examine our lives. David said in one place, says, Lord, Psalms 55, I believe, says, Lord, or 51, create in me a clean heart and a right spirit. Create in me, God, a clean heart and a right spirit. You know, I know that we can make a lot of excuses, you know, for police officers. They see a lot. And I understand that for police officers, their heart can get hardened pretty quick because they're dealing with all negative stuff all day long, every single day. Nobody calls a police officer to a scene to say, I just want to shake your hand. Thanks for what you're doing. Good job. I'm going to buy you a Big Mac. When they get a phone call, something is happening wrong, always. And police officers, you are dealing with what I know you call behind the scenes. You wouldn't say here because we're in church. You want to be nice and pure. The scum of the earth. The riffraff. The gangbangers. The troublemakers. The druggies. The thieves. The wife beaters. The felons. All that stuff you're dealing with all the time. But you can't allow that to harden your heart either. You're a Christian. And you've got to always allow the Holy Spirit inside of you to keep you at peace with him. And never to be so hardened that you can't love anymore. That you can't forgive anymore. That you can't show compassion anymore. And I know for some of our lifestyles and things we deal with, the devil can step in and harden our hearts because we've been hurt, we've been abused, we've been mistreated over and over and over. Our family has left us, our family has abused us, our family has beat us, our family's forsaken us, and we can get hardened and we can get hardened and we can get hardened, and we put this wall up and then nobody's able to get in. Instead of me saying this morning, build that wall, I'm going to tell you this, tear that wall down. for your spiritual life. Tear that wall down and quit keeping people that want to be in your life out of your life because you've allowed things to harden you to where you don't believe nobody, you can't trust nobody. I'm not giving myself away one more time. I've been hurt too many times. You are going to paralyze your own life and miss out on things God has for you. The only way that heart can stay that way is we give it to God. Lord, I surrender my heart. Keep my heart in your hands and let no harm corrupt it. Let no darkness come into it. Let no damage attack it. Because what we, remember, I learned this in computer classes back when we used to take computer classes back when, once again, my generation. Anyway, computer classes in school. And they would say, garbage in, garbage out, right? And that whatever we put in the computer could only do what we put into it. It wasn't magical. I mean, whatever we keyed into that's what came out of it. It had to go by what we put into it. In our spiritual lives, we are what we allow in. If you allow sin and darkness and rebellion and all that junk that the world has out there, and you start allowing that to creep into your lives, I mean, man, people get so heated over discussions and things they really can't control. I choose to be a peacemaker. I'm not saying I won't stand up and fight if I have to. I will. But I choose to be a peacemaker and say, God, you handle this, and you take this, and you keep this, and you lead me, and you guide me. Lord, let me not get in my own way and trip over my own feet and let my big mouth get me in trouble. Because some of us, man, we shoot off our mouth before the words even get there. And then we're like, what have I done? And that's exactly right. None whatsoever. What verse are we on? 25. Putting away lying. He's talking about to quit lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. That also means give no opportunity to the devil. How do I give opportunity to the devil? I just open the front door and let him right in most of the time. With my mouth, with my thoughts, with my words, with me not turning. The Bible says in James 4:7, to submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee. Once again, we have to be on the offensive part, right? We have to continually be fighting. God, I submit to you, I resist the devil. Resist is a verb. It's a verb. It's an action. It means I got to do something about it. I can't just play with it. This is what happened to Samson. Poor old Samson, man. He just couldn't get over that Delilah, could he? She must have been one more looker. I don't know. But he kept on lying to her. He was playing with her. Remember, she kept getting him and saying, where's your power, Samson? He lied to her 3 times. He's in her arms getting all held and cuddled and some sugar and all that, you know, and he's just enjoying his time with just lying. Oh, I'm good. Just if you do this, and she doesn't, he lied. Oh, Samson, you lied to me. Lied to her again. She cried. Samson, he lied to her 3rd time. Finally, he gave in. You know why he gave in? She got into his heart. She got into his heart. It became more than just the physical pleasure. She got into his heart. And finally, he gave her the truth. And his power was gone. His anointing was gone. He became a mockery. This great judge of Israel, whom people were afraid of and revered, became nothing but a mockery. Because Delilah got into his heart. David and Bathsheba, what happened? The Bible doesn't tell us this, but I'm pretty sure we can read it in this. I don't think David went out one night and saw her, and that same night had her in bed. I think it was a process of time. He saw her bathing, knew she was there, maybe went on for a few days, weeks, months, who knows. But he kept observing her, and it got into his heart. I've got to have her. And it got into his heart so much that he slept with a married woman. He got her pregnant. Then he murdered her husband on the battlefield. And then he lied about all of it. Man, all this happened to David, a man after God's own heart. Because he allowed the wrong thing in. What David should have done was resist. Easy to say that, right? I didn't say Bathsheba. David should have said, resist the enemy. Come against that and realize that doesn't belong to me. That's not right for my life. I can't touch that like Joseph did with Potiphar's wife. 2 tales. Joseph resisted and was blessed. David yielded and had pain. Choice leads to consequence. And the reason there's a moral code in place is because God knows what's best for our lives, whether we believe that or not. There's a reason that sexual immorality is so damaging. There's a reason that is so damaging in our lives. We see a generation now where easy access to anything we want to see, touch, or go to, it's available, wherever. So we get that in our mind, we get that in our spirit, and before we know it, it's overtaking us, it's affecting our relationships. It's affecting how we view true love, true sexuality. It affects all of that. That's why God has things in place. I am thankful God gave me a wife young. I'm thankful I've got a good wife, because I would not want to be on the scene, as the kids say now, or they used to say, on the scene anymore at my age now, because nobody would want me, and I probably want nobody else, because I done got spoiled to Melanie. And I'd be one of those people get on your nerves if I was on a date with you. Well, Melanie wouldn't do that. Boy, Melanie would say that. Melanie would say that. Melanie with the sanitation grade. Melanie would say, see that hair in your plate. Melanie would say that spot on the food. Melanie would say that chip in the glass. I'd be doing it all. I mean, they would hate me. You know what they would tell me? Well, go sleep back with Melanie. That's what they would tell me. I would hate to be out there. I'm thankful God has given me one person in my life to connect to, a best friend, and I'm thankful for that. And that's a much better way to live than out there in the world, going from person to person, hopping here, hopping there, hopping everywhere, like Peter Cottontail. You know, I'm so thankful I've got that. There's a reason God put things in place for our lives. He knows what's best. Man, you don't have no peace when you're walking in sin. You don't have no joy or peace when you're really walking in sin. You can't rest well at night. People say, oh, I sleep like a baby. I do what I want. I don't buy that. Because God created us inside to have more than what this world gives. Everyone desires, and every religion, every spiritual teaching teaches something beyond this earthly rim. Whether it's a heaven, whether it's reincarnation, whether it's all of them teach that there's more, most teach that there's more than this. Because it's in our DNA that there's more than this. And God desires that we serve and we walk with Him with a close relationship. Look at verse 28. Let him that steals steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good that they may have to give to them that needeth. God is talking here about work is good. I know y'all don't like that. Many amens on that. But work is good. Work provides something for humanity. Work gives us a purpose, and it helps provide the needs of others. Our jobs feed our families, take care of our kids, take care of the church's needs, take care of your grandkids' needs, take care of other things that you help, other people that you help. Work is a good thing. Quit stealing, start working, is what he's saying. So work can be a blessing as well. So you go in tomorrow morning, some of you might be closed tomorrow because of the holiday, but Monday or Tuesday, whenever you go in, celebrate your job and thank God you're able to work. I know my dad retired from JCPenney for 44 years. He worked there. For the past several years, all I heard was he couldn't wait to quit work. Couldn't wait to retire. Couldn't wait to retire. Couldn't wait to retire. He wasn't out a few months. I miss work. I miss work. I miss work. I got to do something. And mom's like, hallelujah. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Got to do something. So dad went back to work a couple days a week part-time, you know, to get out of the house. You realize works, maybe it's more of a man thing than a woman thing, I don't know, but for me, work's a purpose. And if that was out of my life, I would have a lot of my purpose, I feel like, gone. So keep working. Work's a good thing. Ashley and Nick, work's a good thing. Ringing groceries up, it's a good thing. Verse 29. We'll love this one, y'all. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now, in case you want to know what corrupt means, the Amplified tells us, just so y'all are clear. Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth. Boy, that's hard, isn't it? I had a cop friend years ago. He's not a cop anymore. He was in Statesville City for years. And you would know him if I called his name. You'd remember him. We used to work together. But he went to Statesville PD, and
He was this little innocent, just Christian young man. Such a Christian, meek and mild Christian. Well, he picked up some ugly words later in life, being a police officer. And I said, man, so what's going on with you? He goes, man, you got to talk like they talk to get anything done. So you got to talk like they talk. I'm like, okay, whatever. We can't allow what's happening in the world to ever become who we are. You know, Tony Dungy was head coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Indianapolis Colts. Christian man, very open about his faith. His players even talked about, they never heard him through all the years ever say a curse word. This is a football coach. I mean, the thing should be more like I never heard him not say a cuss word, right? This is a football head coach in NFL. And they said, we never heard him swear or say a curse word ever as a coach. And you know what? He's a Super Bowl winning coach. And he was a good coach, and his players loved him. And he did it his way, or God's way, I should say, and didn't conform to everybody else. Just because we're inside of a culture doesn't mean the culture had to be inside of us. Listen to me, church. I know we live in the world, the Bible says, but we are not of the world. We have a heavenly shore that we are going to, a golden shore. The hand of God is going to reach out and take us to the promised land. This is not our land. We are a pilgrim. We are a stranger passing through. Do not set roots in the system of this world, but come out and let God plant you by the still waters of His mercy and grace. We're supposed to be different and be proud to be different. You know, when I was doing the voting polls, I volunteered to the voting polls last year, and for the Senate race and stuff, and people would come in, and it was so strange. Now, whether you're this or not, I'm just saying it was so strange. They would come in, you had to ask them, Republican or Democrat, to verify they had the right thing on their ticket. You know what Republicans all did? Republican. They whispered it. You know what Democrats did? Democrat. I noticed that pattern. The Republicans were whispering. Democrats were shouting. I was like, man, are they ashamed to be Republican? Why are they whispering? My point in saying that is, I'm a Christian. Where do you go to church? I go to Living Word, Mister. I mean, are we ashamed of what we are in Christ? Are we letting the culture and the fear of what people might think about us suppress who we are? So you go to church, huh? Yeah, yeah. What do you believe in? Well, I believe in Jesus Christ. Y'all praise the Lord? Oh, I believe in praising the Lord. Yeah, shout hallelujah. Yeah, we get excited sometimes. I'm proud to be a Christian, as the old song used to sing. I'm proud to be, Marty sang it last week, proud to be a Christian. I'm proud and, you know, whatever. But I'm proud to be a Christian. How many times are we not proud of that? But we shrink down because the people around us aren't. And they make us feel guilty for being that. They make us feel lesser than for being that. It's in our movies now. You hear it in TV shows. You hear people attacking anything that is spiritual whatsoever. Don't be ashamed. Let no corrupt communication, let no evil, let no foul language, let nothing come out of your mouth except this. Look what it says. Except that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let our mouth be used for the grace of God, not for our personal agenda. Think about how many times Christians have blown it because they have preached their personal agenda and not what God wanted them to say. Church, each of us have our own standards. I have morals. I have lines I've drawn. I have things I believe in. I have lines that I hope I'll never cross that I've set my whole life. By the grace of God, I'll never cross those lines. Things I believe, things that I hold on to, things that are important to me to hold on to. And sometimes I run to people that know I don't agree with how they're living. I don't agree with what they're saying. But there's times that we have to be careful that we don't just spew out our own anger toward them because it's our personal thing. But we say, what would God want me to say and how can I edify them? And so we pray about that. God, use my mouth to bring what's good. Bring what's good. Let God take over our mouth. The Bible says our tongue is a tree of life, right? A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Let your tongue be used by the Lord. We'll go finish up here. Give me a couple more minutes here to finish these verses. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Grieve it not, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. That's good news, isn't it? That we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Let all bitterness, let all wrath, let all anger be put away. That's not who you are anymore. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God forgave Christ's sake, for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Time to put the new man on. Grandma sings a song. Do you have those words with you by chance? You don't have your words with you? I should have thought about that. It's not hit me about that. So that'd be a perfect song right now for her to sing. Do you? Can you go grab them? Will you sing it? Grandma Bruce gets the words for you. Will you sing it? She'll sing it. I won't have Grandma sing this song because it's perfect. Two coats. I took off the old and I put on the new. Sometimes I think as Christians, we've not let God truly have all of our heart. We're holding on to things because we won't surrender to things. And I want this to be a day that we say, you know what, Lord, I want to start fresh today. And I want you to take my life, and I want you to do something with it. I want to read you this while Bruce is getting those words for Grandma. This little something that I wrote the other day. I was over here at a church, and I just, sometimes God will just, I don't know, I grabbed a pen and started writing. This is what I wrote down. It's hard to believe this place where I live. I just don't believe that God can really forgive. My sin and my shame has took me to a place where the last thing I want to see is God's face. My heart is hard and my mind is bound, and I'm screaming inside that somehow I'm found. I don't like where I'm at. I'm in a dark place, and I know I need the Lord's precious grace. I don't like who I am. I'm ready for change. I need God to step in and begin to rearrange. My life is a mess. I've let sin be my boss. And because of its work, I have nothing but loss. The world's standard is not the Lord's. So I cry out to Him, Lord, I need more. Take my heart and take my hand and create in me a brand new man. I'm ready, Lord, to follow your lead. I'm ready, Lord, for you to meet my need. I ask you now to change my life because I know there's nothing better than following Jesus Christ. Getting to write that out in my office. And I believe that's for somebody here today as you hear these words. That you're not where you want to be, but you don't have to stay there. That God has a brand new coat for you to wear today. That He will take off all the old and begin to pour in all the new. If that is your desire today. You got it, Bruce? Come on up here, Granny. We'll get Grandma. She ain't sung on a Sunday morning in a long, long time. But this is a beautiful song. She used to sing it some for us called Two Coats. And come on up here on the stage, Granny. You can see the words good. Yeah, come on up here. If you want to testify, I know you can do that too.
Okay, thank you. been a long time since I've done this, so I desire y'all's prayers. And I think the Lord's been here this morning in a wonderful way. And you know, I was just thinking, actually I was reading some stuff last night, and I just kept reading it over and over, where that people should comes together in a group to worship God, and that God is pleased with that. And you know, this morning, everybody just looks so good, and God's been here in such a real way. I know I have felt Him real. I know that Holy Ghost got a hold of me this morning. And you know, I'm not ashamed of God. And my husband wasn't ashamed of Him either. He just let God have His way, whatever, you know. And you know, that's the way we should be. We should always never be ashamed, always obey God, and do what you feel in your heart that He wants you to do. And y'all pray for me, and I'll do the best I can with this. I'm kind of choked up, but Two Coats, I love this song. Two coats were before me, one old and one new. I could have either, so what must I do? One coat was ugly, all tattered and torn. The other, a new coat, had never been worn. The first coat was earthly and made not fit to wear. I thought it often, and I shed many tears. Then there was a clean one presented to me. I laid off the old coat, and I put on the new. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do was when I laid off the old coat and I put on the new. The first coat was earthly and made from the ground. I bore its image the whole world around. The next was my Savior from heaven so fair. He gave me this new coat that you now see me wear. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do was when I laid off the old coat and I put on the new. Now this coat, it fits me and it keeps me so warm. It stood through the winter and it stood through the storms. My Savior, He dressed me in garments so rare. He filled me with glory and His image I'll bear. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do was when I laid off the old coat and I put on the new. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do was when I laid off the old coat and I put on the new.
Sing together on the chorus. Y'all sing the chorus with us this
morning.
Sing the chorus again. I'll sing it.
I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do when I laid off the old coat and I put on the new. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. I laid off the old coat and I put on the new. Thank you, Pastor James.
Great job. Thank you.
That was beautiful. That was awesome. That song brought the message.
Off the old coat and put on the new. We're going to give you a chance this morning before we leave. If God has spoken to you during this message and you are ready to
put off the old coat today, and you're ready to put on a new coat, whether it's a give your heart to Jesus for the first time, whether it's just you want to rededicate and say, you know what, I want to draw closer to you, God. I want to be closer. I'm ready for the new coat this morning to be put on. Let's walk up here and stand together, and let's pray together this morning. We'll pray together. I'm ready, Lord, for a new coat. I want to rededicate and start today fresh in my life, spiritually fresh, God. I want to walk different and talk different and look different and be different.
There's none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is like you.
This prayer as you stand here. God, we stand before you right now, giving all of us to all of you. We surrender our hearts right now. We pray you take the old man off, that we shed what we bear today, and that you pour into us a new body, a new walk, a new work, a new life, a new coat, God, we put on right now. Forgive us, God. Restore us. Refresh us. In the name of Jesus, lift off all that is wrong in our lives right now and pour upon us a fresh anointing, a fresh glory, a new spirit, God. Pour fresh wine into these broken vessels. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we stand here today saying, I will serve you. I will follow you. I will march out of here, Lord, determined to be a vessel for your work and for your service. In the name of Jesus, change the way I talk, change the way I think, change the way I believe. Lord, let the world not be part of me anymore, but let me come out today and be different. Let me come out today and be changed. In the name of Jesus, God, I receive you. I receive all your mercy, all your love, and all your forgiveness. I thank you, Lord. Restore that which is broken. In the name of Jesus, I give you me today, Lord. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for forgiving me of all of my sins. Thank you for washing me clean. Thank you for healing my heart and my brokenness today. In Jesus' name, I march out of this sanctuary changed by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. And the church said a resounding amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just worship Him right now for a minute.
No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. There is
like you, Jesus.
No one else can touch my heart like you do. I can search for all eternity long and find there is none like you.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you for your presence here today, God. Thank you for what you have done here today. Lord, I thank you that your touch is always available every time we call your name. I pray you go with those of us today. Lord, watch over us and keep us, and let us today begin to serve you in a more impactful way. Let us be a light that the world cannot blow out. Let us not let culture change us, but let us today, moving forward, begin to change the culture that's around us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.